and welcome to Talking Story. I'm your host, Lynn Hadley. And today we have here to talk with us. We are fortunate enough to have the sustainable clothing entrepreneur and designer, Becky Tonkin. She operates Shift online and out of her studio in Astoria and is here to share fresh and functional fashion with a full-size woman in mind. Welcome, Becky.
Hi, Lynn. Thank you for having me.
Well, I'm happy to talk to you. And, tell us about what kind of led you into this fabric forest and of fashion and design.
Oh, gosh. How long do you want the story to be? Well, I grew up sewing with my mother and my grandmother. So that's always been something that has been interesting to me and something that was sort of second nature. I ended up getting sort of a late in life college degree, Bachelor of Arts from Oregon State University in apparel design in their now defunct home economics department, which sounds so old fashioned now, but I got that degree in 2001. So it wasn't that long ago. I promptly went from that, which was really a very technical-based program. I supplemented it with a lot of art history and more art-based things because I wasn't really interested in CAD design or going to work for Nike or doing sportswear, which I thought was going to just only be sporty. I didn't really understand what that market was. I mean, looking back, Nike could have been a really great intro for me, but I wasn't interested. So I went straight to grad school, did about 10 years of working in museums and mostly retail because there's no money in museums. And I had a nice student loan to pay back. So, it's a long, winding road. But I finally, about 5 years ago, started sewing for other people when I moved to Astoria in 2013. And just various pushes and prods from other people, frankly, helped me to get into this business. And then, and now 5 years later, it's my full-time gig.
And it you have a very strong presence online, and it seems like the community of fabric artists seems quite, you cross-promote and work together really well.
Yeah, I have a lot of friends on mostly Instagram that I communicate with. I would hesitate to say that I have much influence there. Instagram is definitely, there's this whole other realm of influencers and people who make money on Instagram, but I'm very much an organic media, social media user. I'll talk about what's going on in my life, trials and tribulations I'm having, thoughts. I mean, it's not cute necessarily all the time. I don't even really use hashtags hardly ever. So I'm not really connecting to a wider group of people. And there are reasons for that sometimes. And I don't need to get into those, but sometimes using all those hashtags where you're basically inviting people in that don't already follow you, it can be really problematic. And also sometimes I don't want to grow my audience because I'm only one person sewing. So I can't really handle more.
That's a lot to do on your own.
Yeah. So it's kind of a weird balance of trying to keep it organic and, you know, really being myself and also using it as a business platform.
And along that line, keeping it organic, functional, and sustainable. I mean, down to the, like, your concern in your shipping product as
right.
to whether it's compostable or recyclable. It seems like in every aspect of the business, you're thinking of that.
I'm thinking of it, and I'm trying to make things more sustainable. And it's not necessarily a moniker that I would use to tag my stuff. I don't come right out and say sustainable fashion, or I mean, I'll come out and say I'm plus size fashion. But because I think that that's something that I easily embrace and that's what I'm about. But sustainable is such a funny, weird buzzword. And I feel like I would be, and I don't want to say I don't want to invite this, but I think I would be inviting some criticism that I'm not really prepared to deal with simply because I am a really tiny organization, company. It's really just me and one friend who helps me cut. And I simply don't have the resources to be as sustainable as I'd like. So that means that I can't buy fabric that's organic. Growing cotton and linen is not a sustainable game at all. That uses a ton of water. It's very, very high polluting. So there, you know, but on the other hand, you can compost cotton and it breaks down. Whereas, you know, we're all hearing about the microfibers in the ocean now, and it's like all that polyester stuff is just kind of garbage but it has its place too. You know, it doesn't break down as easily. It's great for outdoor gear. So, I mean, I would just hesitate to really fall into that sustainable thing. I like to try to utilize my fabric as much as possible.
Right.
You know.
I was noticing on your Facebook page that you made aprons for a company, what looks like, 3 or so years ago. And they sent them back to you recently that you could refurbish and update them. I just think that's fabulous.
It was great. And that really takes the people on the other end to, you know, to really be conscious of it as well. And, you know, I don't know if you know Dana Gunderson. She used to live here in town. She's the... one of the managers up there at Alaskan Brewing Company in Juneau. And I think I live in her old house, maybe. Anyway, somehow we got connected. And, you know, I think I probably told her when she bought the aprons the first time, I said, anytime you need repairs, let me know. And so, yeah, it's been 3 years. They're very well worn. I replaced a bunch of grommets and put new straps on them and, you know, spiffed them up, and they look great.
That's wonderful.
Yeah.
So not only, yeah, so that sounds pretty sustainable to me.
To me, that's the ideal. You yes. know, that's the ideal, is to make something that's going to both last and be able to be repaired, you know, so that you can continue to use it.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
And it sounds like you're very mindful of that type of thing when you're sourcing your fabrics as well.
Well, in so much as I'm trying to source fabrics that are natural. I'm using natural fibers. There are a couple companies that I would love to buy from more, but it's a resource problem. You know, there's this great company out of San Francisco that has beautiful, sustainable, organic fibers, and they're easily 2 to 3 times more expensive per yard than the sort of regular market cotton and linen that I can buy.
And how does the fabric itself kind of fit into the design of the fashion? I know one of your sellers, big sellers, is
the suspender
dress. Mm-hmm. Yes. How did you come to that?
Well, that particular design, even before the fabric was thought about, it was based on a design that... I mean, it was like it was an evolution. I could show you like a series of 10 pictures before I came to that. But, you know, at one point when I was still living in Eugene, I made this skirt with suspenders on it that I wore all the time. It was out of an old dress that the top of it had become ratty. So I just, anyway, so that was kind of the first iteration. And then when I moved here, I was invited to be part of a recycled clothing show that they put on for the harbor. It was a fundraiser. Like a little fashion show. And I made this shirt that had suspenders. I've always been a suspender person. My dad wore suspenders. I'm from a logging town. I liked all of that. I just love the hardware of it. So I made this shirt that had suspenders on it. It was like a little dress. And that's kind of where the suspender dress came from. I don't remember what your question was, but...
Oh, well, I know you make it with kind of different weight fabrics.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, I started making it mostly with a denim, which is a good sort of a lightweight denim, like an 8 ounce, which is like a lightweight jean. But then some people wanted, you know, I have this customer who's a farmer and she wanted a more heavy duty canvas. So we kind of worked on it together, and she had some input about color, and I ended up getting sort of this Carhartt caramel color. And so now I'm using that as my really heavy-duty canvas. I have a lighter weight canvas that's a little more summer weight, a little more breezy. That heavyweight caramel is like stiff as a board, which is great for working, you know. It's great for putting all your hammers in your pockets, but it's not great for, say, teaching or whatever.
Right.
I sell to a ton of teachers, librarians, people who really put a lot of things in those pockets.
Utilitarian.
Yeah. Yeah. And the cool thing about the fabric is that I'm buying it a bolt at a time. I'm not buying... I mean, that's one of the good things about being small is that I'm not buying things at 100 yards. So if something doesn't work and I only have 20 yards of that fabric, that's kind of okay because I can either use that fabric for something else or just sort of slowly dwindle off, you know, making that garment out of that fabric. So I can constantly sort of test the market and see what people want and need.
That's wonderful. Yeah. A great advantage too.
Yeah.
Keeping it small.
Yeah.
And also I would think that must be rewarding to work directly with customers like that.
And it's really cool. I mean, she had an opinion and I had no opinion about it, which is rare. Usually I'm like, I'm going to do this, you know, like I'm pretty decisive, but, you know, I asked her what she was interested in and we both agreed that that was a great color. And so that happened. And that happens sometimes. Usually, like I said, I'm pretty decisive. I have a pretty neutral, natural palette. You know, it's very much blues and blacks and grays and browns. And occasionally I'll get wild with like a gold or a green. I have some dusty rose, kind of a clay color coming up soon that I'm trying to figure out what to make out of. It's rare that I buy the fabric before the design happens, but sometimes, you know, you're so moved.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's inspirational yeah. fabric.
Yeah, exactly.
And let's see. Recycling, reusing. I saw that scrap fabrics, you sell patch kits as far as like encouraging people to maintain things? Or is that something you're kind of thinking about?
It's just something I'm pondering. I have bags and bags of small scrap that isn't... It's not big enough for me to make anything out of, but it's too small to throw away. I had a friend come over recently and raid my bags for a quilt, and he took a ton of fabric, and it seemed like a lot. And then it was literally like it's a fraction of what I have. So it was just an idea that I put out there, like maybe somebody would want to buy, you know, a stack of 10 scraps that are all in sort of complementary colors to do their own little mending kit, little sashiko, you know, Japanese style mending or something. I'm not sure if I'll do it, but it would involve me making like a tiny little booklet to sell with it, which sounds like a lot of hours.
Uh-huh.
But, you know, I mean, we'll see. Maybe that's something that I do when I'm on vacation someday.
Oh, I'm sure you have all sorts of vacation time.
Oh my God,
time.
So much vacation time. Yeah.
But, and the sizing, do you want to talk about the sizing? About, it looked like you were considering creating your own sort of sizing scale.
Yeah. So, I mean, to begin with, most of my designs start to fit me, and I'm a size 24 person, so I'm my own fit model. And then I sort of size up and down from there, which is sort of rare. And sometimes it means that the really teeny sizes don't end up being as functional as the larger sizes. Like with that suspender dress, if you get too small in the waist, it can be a little problematic because it's a pullover garment. So if it can't fit over your hips or your shoulders, it can be a little iffy. So... that's why I don't make an extra, extra small. I mean, I go from extra small to like a 5X. But I think that smaller sizes have a lot more options out there than plus sizes do anyway. So I don't feel terrible about that. But I am thinking about removing the extra small to 5X labels from everything anyway and just calling them sizes 1 through 8 or... A through whatever that ends up being, H, I don't know. because there's so much sort of morality attached to what size you are. And a lot of times, even in my booth at craft fairs, people will be like, oh, this is amazing. I'm a size medium. I've never been one, you know. And it's like this pride thing that I think is kind of baloney. Like, I mean, it doesn't matter if you're a medium or a large. You're just a human with a body. Like, that's kind of like the body positivity component of my work, is that I want to take that stuff out of it. That, like, moralizing of what size you are. It doesn't matter.
Right. I know. I've seen people buy things just because, or at least I'm convinced, I think they bought it just because it was a size they don't usually wear.
Right. Yeah.
So it's like, oh, yeah, I want that. It's like, yeah. Do you even like the item, or are you just kind of taken with the fact that it seems like a smaller size than you usually wear?
Right. And I'm not above a appealing to people's vanity. I mean, I want things to look nice on them, but I think that whole sizing thing is it's kind of a scam, and it's not standardized. The numbers don't really matter. They really don't. There's no standard across companies for sizing. You can make up your own thing. And so whether you're a medium or extra large, it literally doesn't matter.
Right. And being able to just provide something where it's kind of one end of the spectrum is like, seems oftentimes not addressed at all. I know, like Michael Kors gets kudos because he actually makes something in a size 14 or possibly 16.
Who cares?
And yeah.
Sorry. I mean, that's the average size of women. It's like,
right,
wow, good
right.
for you. So you're going all the way up to the average.
But yeah.
I have opinions on all of this.
Yes.
Plus size stuff. I mean, there's a huge movement now too, where all these companies who for years and years and years and years, J. Crew or, what was one I saw recently? I don't remember, but they're adding sizes to their catalogs, and, it's great, but it's like so late. I mean, and it's a lot of it is because of social media. It really is. And people are able to contact companies directly and in a very public way and say, why don't you have this stuff? It's not hard to do. Look at all these people doing it. And then, I don't know, it just seems like a gesture more than anything. It doesn't really seem like they're in it in a way that feels, real. But maybe in 10 years they'll figure out the sizing and you know, I just find a lot of the clothes very, I don't know, I'm not excited by it.
So aside from working with your, the customers online and having like direct contact, like you were saying, with online presence, you do a fair amount of shows.
Yeah.
And you get to meet your customers. And like other folks who are working in fashion design and mm-hmm. fabrics and that kind of thing.
It's amazing, yeah.
And how does that sort of community work together?
I've been doing bigger shows so for about 3 years I've been selling at the Astoria Sunday Market, which is every week. This year I'm going in as a floater, so it means I can sort of come in whenever I need to. I think that first year we did that Sunday market, and I'm saying we because my friend Nick and I, who has a company called Wheeler Bag Co., we kind of are show buddies. We're sort of work buddies. We don't own businesses together, but we work together. When we do shows, we're next to each other. We support each other. We get each other lunch or break each other for bathroom breaks or whatever. He's also just my, like, support person. I am my emotional support pal.
Yes.
You know, like, we just support each other through this, like, doing this small business thing. But anyway, I think that first year that we did the Sunday market, we got into Crafty Wonderland in Portland, which is a really big, like, 250 vendor show. It's been going on for 13 years. They started out, like, at the Doug Fir in this small space. And, it's really blossomed into this sort of, you know, it's sort of like a mainstream craft show. It's like not as hip and cool as it used to be, but man, people really come to that show. They still have amazing vendors, some people who've been with them from the beginning. It's been amazing meeting so many people who do their artwork for a living and have just such open hearts about it. I mean, this one woman I met who has texture clothing, I mean, I don't hardly know her, but I see her every market. She always asks me how it's going. She's like traveling the world. She's doing all this other stuff, but she's always got a little nugget of like advice or wisdom or just positive vibes to give me. And it's amazing. I know dozens of people like that. And it really, you know, sometimes I think, well, if I can get enough business going, I won't have to do these markets anymore. But it really is the best way for me to get sort of a necessary juice that I need to have to keep going. And then I also get to meet my customers face to face. And there's nothing like it. Like, it's amazing. And it's amazing to me seeing like a fat woman walking down the aisle and there's a big sign on my thing that says plus sizes. And they light up because there's no... Most craft markets are going to maybe have a t-shirt that's going to fit like a 3X person, but they're not going to have like what's called slow fashion like I have, which is like every piece sewn individually. I mean, that hardly ever happens for plus size people. So it's just really amazing to connect with those folks and, you know, make their day. I love it. It's emotional.
Yes.
really is. It really is. Just, it fills me up.
And yeah, it's fabulous that you're connecting like that with people and providing something that has obviously been so overlooked.
Right. Such an underserved population. I mean, I see, you know, the same, I see women that I'm just like, well, she looks really rad, you know, and everybody's wearing the same knit dress from Old Navy. Because, you know, and there's nothing wrong with that. And, you know, you can go a long way with some amazing earrings and a great scarf. But I think it's kind of our time to have something that's a little more individual.
And I just wanted to remind everybody, you're tuned to Talking Story on KMUN, Coast Community Radio. We're here with Becky Tonkin talking about Shift, her fine and functional fashion company based out of here, out of Astoria, Oregon.
Just down the street.
And what is, if you want to walk us through like when you get to your studio, are you inspired to like look into other things to like refine what you've got going already? Is it, like we were talking about, the people who make a big difference and factor into how you're thinking forward. I know you recently had I'm stacking things here for you, but
please do.
A big photo shoot of what I would guess are new things for spring.
Mm-hmm.
And I would love to hear how that went, and I have been seeing more of it online.
I know. Well, I'm kind of not very computer literate, so it took me a while to download the photos. I mean, my friend Colin was in town for about a month, and he's an amazing photographer, and I was just like, we gotta see if we can utilize his talent while he's here. I mean, remarkably, he was kept very busy. I know the Food Web hired him for a bunch of stuff. He did some music videos, you know, I mean, he's that great. So, Nick and I partnered with him and did a afternoon of photo shoots with five or six amazing model friends of ours. And, I mostly had him take pictures of that suspender dress, which is what's going to be on my website if I ever get it going. I'm tired of promising that I'm going to have it up, so I'm just going to say if it happens, it will, but, you know, I don't know when. Because that suspender dress, that particular item, is really my bread and butter. I don't think I had anything particularly new on the photo shoot as far as colorways go, but I did have that new canvas and the railroad stripe. As far as, like, going into my studio, I spend too much time looking at Instagram. I kind of have a routine where I through the weekend, I work on special orders. And then on Tuesdays, I usually have another job that I do one day a week at Imogen Gallery. My week is sort of broken up by that Tuesday. So on Tuesdays, I'll send out invoices for special orders. And then Wednesday through the following Monday, I'll cut and sew those and try to get them sent out actually by Friday. And then that Sunday through Monday, I have time to work on other stuff. Technically, sometimes I take the weekend off like I have lately. I don't have a lot of energy right now, so I haven't been super productive, but I do have Crafty Wonderland coming up on May 4th. So I got to get it into gear. That didn't really answer your question, but but I'm kind of all over the place. I have so many ideas for designs. I am constantly fixing and refining things. You know, if something's not selling, I'm just taking it out of inventory. I'm constantly trying to figure out how to do it better. But this suspender dress really just keeps coming. I mean, every day I get an email from somebody. It boggles my mind. Like they're willing to go out of their way to email me instead of just like the convenience of a website, you know? So anyway, I'm always working on making that cute and better. But yeah, it keeps coming back to me.
No, so that space is kind of essential to the process.
The actual studio space?
Yeah.
Oh yeah. I mean, yeah, you need so much room when you're sewing. You need a lot of room to, I mean, especially when you're cutting, you have to have a giant table just to roll that fabric out. I'm not going to get on the floor and cut stuff out on the floor. Like, I'm just not. I can't do that anymore. Just takes up a lot of space. Inventory takes up a lot of room. Just fabric bolts and rolls of fabric takes up a ton of room. So, you know, yeah, you got to have a big old space.
I would like to address more of the idea of clothing for the resistance.
Okay.
Yes. That's intriguing.
Yeah. Well, I mean, there are a lot of ways you can look at that. I added that tagline onto my, I think it's on my business card too. It's on my business card and it's on my Instagram after Trump got elected. Cause I was just like, I cannot even fathom people thinking like I have to make a stand. So, you know, I would hesitate to think that I'm doing anything revolutionary, but I do want people to know that I'm there for you. Like if you want to break it down, I'm there for you. You know, I don't really know what that means anymore, but, I think the body positivity aspect of it is super important. I think it has more to do with just accepting people as they are, but it has to do with people of color. It has to do with incarcerated people. It has to do with just humans in general and how we value humans. We don't all have to look the same, obviously, but we also don't all have to come from the same place, and we don't have to have the same ideas of morality. And, you know, I mean, like, health as a moral obligation is totally baloney. And I mean, there's just all this stuff wrapped in with it. And I don't really espouse any of that stuff super verbally, but I try to just be that and be a good example and try to lift people up by something as simple as what they're wearing in a not shallow way, you know, in a thoughtful way. I don't know.
Is there anything before we go that you would like to add that we didn't get to talk about?
Not really. Thanks for letting me ramble incoherently.
Look for Becky wherever you can.
Yeah. My Instagram handle is Shift Astoria.
Very good.
Yeah. Thanks.
Thank you.
Yeah. Thanks, Lynn.